hallelujah. I told Angela today, I said, isn't it amazing what 1 week difference makes? Last week we had freezing rain, below zero temperatures again, and we had a little bit of rain today, but the temperatures are definitely not below zero. Hallelujah. Yes, we are ready for spring. Like I said, spring's gonna come. It's bound to come. Let's open with prayer tonight, and we'll get into the Word. We're going to go over some things today that I'm really hoping help some people out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You, Lord God, for this day. We thank You, Father, that in each new day we have another chance to tell people about You, to learn more about You ourselves. And Father, we pray tonight that You help us to receive and understand Your Word. Lord, I pray that You use me, help me to speak things properly and clarify the things that need to be clarified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight we are going to talk about probably one of the most controversial subjects in the church. Notice I said in the church because the word is rapture. We're going to talk about this tonight. We're going to look at several different things. I'm going to read primarily out of these notes I have up here. So I probably won't be doing a lot of roaming because the one page is really tiny. So I'm sitting here looking, okay, I got a magnifying glass for some of it. But so I guess to start off with, what is the rapture? Many Christian faiths believe and teach about a future end times event when all true believers who are still alive before the end of the world will be taken from the earth by God into heaven. The term describing this event is the rapture. Although the term rapture is not found in the Bible, the theory is based on Scripture. Those who accept the rapture theory believe that all non-believers on the earth at the time will be left behind for the tribulation period. Most Bible scholars agree the tribulation period will last for 7 years, the final 7 years of this age, until Christ returned to set up His earthly kingdom during the millennium. The English word rapture is derived from the Latin verb rapere, meaning to carry off or to catch up. Questions. When will the rapture occur? There are three main beliefs regarding the rapture. There's the pre-tribulation rapture, which means pre-tribulation period. Post-tribulation rapture, which is after the rapture or after the tribulation. Mid-tribulation rapture means during the middle of it, during 3.5 year point. So how will the rapture occur? According to several verses in the Bible, believers will suddenly, without warning, disappear from the earth in the twinkling of an eye. Matthew 24, 30 through 36, we read about some of these. Talking about the sign of the Son of Man. No one knows the day or hour, not even the angels or heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. That is, I think, the most important thing we need to carry from this is none of us knows. I don't care who the prophecy teacher is. He don't know. He's full of it. He or she, we'll throw it that way. They don't know. We don't know. Only God knows. Matthew 24, 40 through 41, two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. I think that is self-explanatory there. John 14, 1 through 3, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, also trust in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Again, another self-explanatory thing. He said, I will come back and get you. After he said this, in Acts 1, 9 through 11, after he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52, Paul tells us, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will also be with the Lord forever. So there's several more. Philippians 3:20 through 21. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 1 through 12. Again, talk about that. Just some base scriptures to talk about that there will be a return of Christ. Many people say he's not returning. He said he will return. A brief history on the rapture. Some of the stuff I didn't even know. The term rapture first became popular in the United States toward the end of the 19th century through the teachings on premillennialism and dispensationalism by John Nelson Darby, an Irish evangelist. The rapture theory continued to grow in popularity among evangelicals, largely due to a preacher named William Eugene Blackstone. His book, Jesus is Coming, sold more than 1 million copies. In the late 1960s and 70s, during the Jesus movement, the rapture theory made its way into many popular secular songs, such as Are You Ready by Pacific Gas and Electric, and In the Year 2525 by Zager and Evans. The rapture theory gained even greater interest during this time due to books of Hal Lindsey. In the late Great Planet Earth, Lindsey predicted an imminent rapture based on global conditions at the time. In 1972, Russell S. Dalton produced a four-part movie series beginning with A Thief in the Night. The movie recorded the events surrounding the rapture in a terrifying way, creating widespread public interest in the theory. In 1991, the film The Rapture with Mimi Rogers was released. It recorded one woman's experience through the rapture. Currently, the very popular Christian book series based on the events surrounding the rapture is the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. Now, not all Christian faiths accept the rapture theory. The Roman Catholics do not accept a rapture theory. They believe the concept to be confused understanding the second coming of Christ. Again, we're going to talk about many of these things here. Eastern Orthodox also rejects the rapture theory. From the beginning, it has never been taught by any of their bishops. Other mainline Protestant faiths and ministers have challenged the idea of a rapture because of the inconsistency and various interpretations of the previously noted Bible verses. So there's many, many, many people talking about things, interpreting things. The one thing I want to get across through the body of Christ, get it established here, I don't care where you believe it happens. I really don't. You have your right. I know what I believe. I know what I'm going to stand on. If you believe pre-trib and we go, praise God. If I believe mid-trib and we go, praise God. If it happens to be post-trib and we go, praise God. Okay? It doesn't matter. For those who believe in a future rapture, it is regarded to be a sudden and cataclysmic event that will be unlike any other phenomenon in history. Millions of people will disappear from the earth without warning. By the way, how many of you, I mean I did, especially after my eyes were slower to adjust, everything was blurry. How many of you have thought about this Malaysian flight that just totally disappeared? I'm thinking, Lord, we're the only church on that plane. You took plane and all. I mean, so that's kind of something that people are going to look. I mean, seriously, if you're sitting there working with somebody and they disappear, aren't you going to spend the next 2 hours looking for them? Hey, you were just here. Yeah, you plan on being the one going. Yeah. As a result, tragic and unexplained accidents will occur on a wide-scale basis, ushering in the tribulation period. Many speculate that non-believers left behind who may have known the rapture theory yet previously rejected it will finally come to belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as a result of the rapture. Others left behind will remain in unbelief, finding theories to explain away the bizarre event. And of course they will. I mean, exactly. We've got things that we know are cut and dry, and yet our government seems conveniently to be able to explain away what happened. So, I guess the next thing we need to jump into is pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. So here's a question. What are the strengths and weaknesses of the pre-tribulation view of the rapture? In eschatology, it is important to remember that almost all Christians agree on these three things. One, there is a time of great tribulation such as the world has never seen. Nobody disputes that. After the tribulation, Christ will return to establish his kingdom on earth. Nobody's disputing that. Three, there will be a rapture, a translation from mortality to immortality for believers. The question is, when does the rapture occur in relation to the tribulation and the second coming of Christ? Through the years, three main theories have emerged concerning the timing of the rapture: pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. These articles deal specifically with the pre-trib view. Pre-tribulationism teaches that the rapture occurs before the tribulation starts. So, and I'm going to state this in here, one thing that is still confused: when does all the tribulation stuff start? We know that the tribulation is a 7-year period. But how fast do things happen? How fast do all the things that are established happen before then? At this time, the church will meet Christ in the air, and then sometime after that, the Antichrist is revealed and the tribulation begins. In other words, the rapture and Christ's second coming to set up his kingdom are separated by at least 7 years. According to this view, the church does not experience any of the tribulation. Scripturally, the pre-tribulation has much to commend it. For example, the church is not appointed to wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 through 10, 5-9. And believers will not be overtaken by the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-9. The church of Philadelphia was promised to be kept from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world. Revelation 3:10. Note, by the way, that was the church of Sardis in 3:10. If I remember correctly. Note that the promise is not preservation through the trial, but deliverance from the hour that is from the time period of the trial. Pre-tribulationism also finds support in what is not found in Scripture. The word church appears 19 times in the first three chapters of Revelation. But significantly, the word is not used again until chapter 22. In other words, in the entire lengthy description of the tribulation in Revelation, the word church is noticeably absent. In fact, the Bible never uses the word church in passage relating to the tribulation. Pre-tribulationism is the only theory which clearly maintains the distinction between Israel and the church and God's separate plans for each. The 77s of Daniel 9:24 are decreed upon Daniel's people, the Jews, and the Daniel's holy city, Jerusalem. This prophecy makes it plain that the 70th week, the tribulation, is a time for purging and restoration for Israel and Jerusalem, not for the church. Now, I'm going to throw something in there about the whole between the first several chapters of Revelation and then everything in between. Everything in between, there aren't monsters coming out of the ocean. There isn't a lamb going to be running around with two horns, looks like a lamb and talks like a dragon. They're all metaphors. Everything from that point on is metaphor. In other words, you have to interpret it. Okay? Obviously, I'm leaning towards a different direction. I shared that the last time we were together. And there's some things I'm going to point out that aren't even brought up in these arguments that, in my opinion, start solidifying it even more. According to this, also pre-tribulation has historical support from John 21, 22 through 23. It would seem that the early church viewed Christ's return as imminent, as we have always preached, even to this day, that he could return at any moment. Otherwise, the rumor would not have persisted that Jesus would return within John's lifetime. Pre-tribulational view seems to have the most keeping in God's character and his desire to deliver the righteous from the judgment of the world. Biblical examples of God's salvation also include Noah, who was delivered from the worldwide flood, Lot, who was delivered from Sodom, and Rahab, who was delivered from Jericho. May I also point out that they all had to go up to a certain point. One perceived weakness of pre-tribulationism is a relatively recent development as a church doctrine, not having been formulated until early in the 1800s. Another weakness is the pre-tribulation splits the return of Jesus Christ into two phases, the rapture and the second coming, which, by the way, I still believe they are two separate cases. And again, I'll point out why. Whereas Another difficulty facing pre-tribulation view is that there will obviously be the saints in the tribulation. Pre-tribulationists answer this by distinguishing the saints of the Old Testament and the saints of the tribulation from the church of the New Testament. Believers alive at the rapture will be removed before the tribulation, but there will be those who will come to Christ during the tribulation. I believe that is very well possible. And a final weakness of the pre-tribulation view is shared by two other theories, namely the Bible does not give an explicit timeline concerning future events. Again, this is why it's all speculation. We have no timeline. God did that strategically. One, so we would focus not in getting ourselves wrapped up in commercialism of rapture, but rather telling people about the return of Christ. Okay? I'm only sharing this because I think people need to be able to establish why they believe in it. Because for years, I had everything shoved down my throat. I personally have one belief, and I will share that. You are entitled to believe whatever you want in this. You're not going to hell for it. That's the great thing. You are not going to hell. I'm not going to go to hell if he comes back pre-trib. Why? Because my faith is no matter what we have to go through, he's there. He's going to get me through it. Whatever I have to go through. All right. Strengths and weaknesses of mid-tribulational. Well, these are big fancy words for me. View of the mid-trib. Mid-tribulationism teaches that the rapture occurs at the midpoint of tribulation. At that time, the seventh trumpet sounds. The church will meet Christ in the air, and the bold judgments are poured upon the earth in a time known as the Great Tribulation. In other words, the rapture and Christ's second coming are separated by a period of 3.5 years. According to this view, the church goes through the first half of the tribulation, but is spared the worst of the tribulation, which occurs in the last 3 years of 3.5 years. Very close to mid-tribulation is the belief in a pre-wrath rapture. In essence, a belief that the church is caught up to heaven before the great day of wrath comes. Now, okay, first off, I guess one thing we need to understand about the tribulation is we understand that the beast signs a 7-year peace accord with Israel. Halfway through it, he breaks it. Okay? So what are the first 3.5 years? Peace. Okay? They are not wrath. They are not people being killed over and over and over. They are a peace time. Okay? That's exactly what Revelation does teach. Now, in support of their view, some mid-tribulationists point to, and honestly, I never even knew about this pre-wrath. I mean, see what I'm talking about? We're talking about the simple coming of Jesus Christ, and we have 4 theories. Who cares? But if you want to understand some things about Bible prophecy, you're going to have to read it yourself. If you would like a copy of these notes, I will be glad to give them to you. I got them off of gotquestions.org. Go there. I read through these. I'm like, oh, those are perfect. I've been sitting there racking my brain trying to come up with the notes, but I keep wanting to go down all these rabbit trails, and you can't do that. You got to stay on the right rabbit trail for a while. The order of events is as follows. 1, apostasy. The falling away, people will fall away. The revelation of the Antichrist and the day of Christ. The mid-tribulational view teaches that the Antichrist will not be decisively revealed until the abomination makes desolate, which is Matthew 24:15. Now, as many of you were here a few weeks back when we talked about that, when Jesus was referring to that, first off, he was indeed carrying a 2-fold prophecy. He prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem, the abomination of desolation, which just means that which makes desolate. Israel was made desolate when Rome burned Israel, Jerusalem. Okay? He was speaking intently. He said, there will not be one stone upon another. I watched something about this the other day. And they intentionally tore every stone apart. It was, I mean, we're not, again, we're, folks, we're not talking about they just went up and they had 8x16 cinder blocks. They had stones, some of them were as big as that wall back there that they had to move. And there's a city underneath all that. There's caverns underneath the Dome of the Rock right now. The things that they've just kept building upon, and it, we're finding out more and more now, is just amazing. But again, it was a twofold thing. Because I don't know that per se that the abomination of desolation that Jesus was talking about is going to destroy Jerusalem in that time. Because we also know some other things about the Antichrist and the false prophet and what starts occurring at that time. So we're talking about one who makes a literal desolation and one who destroys things around, but we don't know that it's necessarily, in my opinion, in the end time going to hit Jerusalem like that. Also, mid-tribulationalists interpret the day of Christ as a rapture. Therefore, the church will not be caught up until after the Antichrist is revealed. If you read in Revelation 13:18, he said, "This is wisdom. Let him calculate the number of his name. His number is 666. So in other words, you can figure that. You can calculate that. It's a calculation. Question is, what formula? Because it's not 666. Did Jesus Christ show it to him in Hebrew? Did he show it to him in Greek? Did he show it to him in Aramaic, Latin? It was written in Greek as already interpreted. He saw something else with the calculation of 666. Another mystery for us. Which is actually kind of fun. You can just spend a lot of time. Another foundational teaching is that the trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15:52 is the same trumpet mentioned in Revelation 11:15. I read that, actually read that verse to you, and a word stuck out to me. It says, the last trumpet. Did anybody else catch that when I read that? It said, the last trumpet. That's trumpet number 7. The last trumpet will sound. This, they say, however, the logic fails, however, in the view of the trumpet's objective. I think everything's overlapping. I think all the prophecy, you've got to figure out where it laps. We're not talking about thousands of years on everything. There are certain things, they're overlapping, and they just keep typing, shadowing. God keeps putting more and more detail. We've just kind of got to bring it together. How many of you have seen the National Treasures, the movies? Remember the last one when they found Ben Franklin's, what do they call it? Yeah, his spectacle. Yeah, the ones that they just kept flipping something down and they kept overlapping and they kept revealing more and more truth in what they were looking at. I think that's what prophecy really is. Prophecy is never just straightforward. Even in Jeremiah's time and all the, there was so much type and shadowing in it that had to be interpreted. Except when God says, you're done. Then, yeah, there's no need of interpretation for that. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says that the church has not been appointed to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. Now, again, obviously the person writing this is favored towards one, and they continue to state that the church, that tribulation, those 7 years, is going to be hell on earth. That's not what I've read in Revelation at all about the beast. 3.5 years of peace. The last 3.5 years, I don't want to be there. But there was something I wanted to read to you, and it was just a discovery that I'd made a little earlier. In Revelation 12, it's talking about the woman, the child, and the dragon. John goes on. He starts seeing another vision in the sky. After he's seen a bunch of this other stuff, he suddenly has this vision. This is not an entirely separate thing. Again, remember, folks, I think you got to bring them back together and view them over the thing. God's showing him more detail of something else. Now, he shows him the vision of the woman. She's got 12 clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And this is viewed as Israel. Okay? And she's in childbirth. She gives birth to a child. Obviously, the child would be Jesus Christ. And another sign appeared in heaven, to behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems on his heads. Again, these are seven specific leaders of the demonic kingdom. And we're talking flesh and blood leaders. His tail drew a third of the stars. So obviously we're talking about Satan, Lucifer, the devil, pulled a third out. So now we're talking about a time when, before Adam, when he pulled a third of heaven to his side. And he threw them to the earth. Where do you think they ended up at? And the dragon stood before the woman who was greedy, or was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Jesus, we read, was caught up. Turned around, where did he go to sit? He's seated at the right hand of God on his throne. Now here's where I was reading in some notes here. I'd never really given it much thought, but it is the truth. If we're going to keep operating in the principle of God's people, natural Israel gave birth to Jesus Christ. After that, you had to believe. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or who. You have to believe on Jesus Christ. So at that point, God's people now encompasses everybody who believes on Jesus Christ. Okay? So, having said that, then the woman, Jesus is caught up. The woman in the thing, in the vision, changes from natural Israel to the church, God's people who believe in him, okay? Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Anybody want to guess how many years that is? It's 3.5. He's allowed to wage war for three, or to get things set up. And then 3.5 years, he's got his bride caught up. He's got the church taken away. I think, in my opinion, and based on even some other things, for me, it's a no-brainer. But, you know, you may still disagree. And that's fine. You know, it's no different than if you believe Ford, Dodge, or Chevy is the best vehicle. Doesn't matter. They're all the same. I still have my preferences. But they're the same. They're cars. Find me one that doesn't rust. You won't. All right. So now the next thing we would need to look at, since I've already given the other two, is post. Now, you know, knowing what I've read and that Jesus did say to the churches in Revelation 3:10, he said, because of this, you will not see the wrath. You will not see that great day that is coming upon the earth. He did say that. So that's why I would have to lean one towards the first two, not the last. Okay? Post-tribulation teaches that the rapture occurs at the end or near the end of the tribulation. At that time, the church will meet Christ in the air and then return to earth for the commencement of Christ's kingdom on earth. In other words, the rapture and Christ's second coming happen almost simultaneously. According to this view, the church goes through the entire seven-year tribulation. Roman Catholicism, Greek Orthodoxy, and many Protestant denominations espouse a post-tribulational view of the rapture. Okay? First off, may I also state that pretty much the doctrines of at least the first two do not talk a whole lot on the mercy of God. They still believe in works. It's about your works. It's not about the mercy and the grace of God in a believer's life. It's about you making penance for your sin. That's why they believe you're going to go through it. Post-tribulationalists also point out that historically God's people have experienced times of intense persecution and trial. Therefore, to say it should not be surprising that the church also experiences the great tribulation of the end times in relation to this is the post-tribulational view distinguishes Satan's wrath or man's wrath from God's wrath in the book of Revelation. Satan's wrath is directed against the saints, and God always allows it Now, God allows it as a means of purifying his faithful. On the other hand, God's wrath is poured out on the Antichrist and his godless kingdom, and God will protect his people from that punishment. So you know what? If you do have to go through it, you better believe that. However, again, I'm stopping back here at mid, post or mid, I don't care. The reason I stop there is because God does always protect his people. Some of the arguments that they used against the mid or even this one from the other one is God and Noah. Guess what? Noah preached for 120 years. He preached in those conditions. You've got to understand the conditions that got God's attention in the beginning were the same conditions he was going through right then, all the way up. I'm actually very interested in seeing this new movie about Noah. Because I've told Angela, I said, I about guarantee you they've taken some things out of the book of Jasher and out of the book of Enoch. And that's why people are having their panties in a wad. March 28th. And they've even put on there that they took some theatrical license. You know, of course you had to. If we were to tell the story of Noah, it's over in 5 minutes. They got 2.5 hours they got to try to fill. But I think, again, what they've done is they've gone to what we call the apocryphal books, and they've pulled out some things out of Jasher and out of Enoch that talks about some things that most of the church don't want to admit exist, because most of them are still denying that there's a devil, that there's demons. They like to believe in angels because angels are good. I started today in, you know, when I was compiling my notes, I thought, okay, Lord, we're going to start in Revelation 6. And I'm going to go down through here. And I started listing all this stuff down through here of what things are going to happen. And I'll be honest with you, even as I was listing them, I still had to look at those and say, "This, we're in the mid. We will disappear in the mid. I believe that we will see who the Antichrist is. I believe he's on the earth right now. I firmly believe it. The spirit of Antichrist has been here always. But I believe the son of perdition is here now. And he's just snubbing his thumb at God and his people. There's things I think that a lot of people have misinterpreted just because, well, hey, it works out. Well, we need to remember it's got to be interpreted too, first. And we're interpreting things. One of the things we've interpreted with the beast is that he's going to be a homosexual. And that's one of the great things that I've heard over the years. Just because it says his desire won't be for women. Well, it doesn't say his desire is for men. His desire is for power. Women aren't going to get him anywhere. His desire is for more power. He doesn't care. I mean, what was Bill Clinton's desire for being in power? Women. It had nothing to do with his looks, because I've never heard any woman say he was a good-looking guy. But yet, that was his big thing. All right, so some questions here. What is the difference between the rapture and the second coming? The rapture is when Jesus Christ returns to remove the church, all believers from the earth, the dead and those who are alive. It's described in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 18, 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54. The second coming is when Jesus returns to defeat the Antichrist, destroy evil, and establish his millennial kingdom. The second coming is described in Revelation 19, 11 through 16. And guess what? The Bible says he returns with his saints. So we're already there. We are there at some point, and we return back. Okay? The important difference between the rapture and the second coming. At the rapture, believers meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. At the second coming, believers return with the Lord to the earth. Revelation 19, 14. The second coming occurs after the great and terrible tribulation. The rapture occurs, obviously, before that at some point. The rapture is removal of believers from the earth as an act of deliverance. The second coming includes the removal of unbelievers as an act of judgment. See, again, you got to keep in mind, God's mercy and God's judgment. He does not, the ark was God's mercy. Okay? The angels coming to Lot. That was another one of the examples. That God got righteous Lot out of there. That's great. But Lot was still in the situation right up until the moment of God's judgment. Why? Because God will not execute judgment on the just. Had there been just people in Israel, they never would have fallen. They never would have entered into slavery. Well, Pastor, we've got Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. What about those four? Well, first off, we don't read about them until after they go into judgment. So when did they decide to stand up? See, America has got just people. We got to start standing up. We've gone through everything. There's things I started digging up, folks, on the four horses. That's what you start reading about in Revelation 6, as you start reading about the four horses. And the things that are being released right now, folks, we are seeing some of it. We haven't seen a quarter of the earth's population. We won't go through this yet, but a quarter of the earth's population to be killed is 1.75 billion people. Currently, there's only 56 million people a year dying. It would take 31.25 years for us to have 1.75 billion people dead. I actually believe that this 1.75 billion is a limited time frame. It's a definitive time. Just as when inflation, we read about inflation in the book of Revelation. 800%, folks. To give you an example of what we're talking about currently, you are paying 111% more for gasoline than you were 6 years ago. At that rate, we're going to be spending a ton of money. We're going to start walking more. I promise you. So Gloria's like, hey, I'm ahead of all of you. What he was saying is if a loaf of bread costs you a dollar, it's going to cost you eight. Think of that and how fast you go through bread. People will give up bread. And I believe what it was saying, though, through there, is because it says the oil and the wine will not be touched. The luxuries. There's going to be people who aren't going to know. They don't care because they've got so much money. I think that's what it says. You may see something different. The rapture will be secret and instant. The second coming will be visible to all. These we have to agree on. Because it says we're going to be, two people going to be working side by side, and one of them's gone. But when people see Jesus Christ returning, they see the sign of the Son of Man. Oh boy, there's some things I got into today, folks. I'm just told Angel, I said, holy smoke, you remember? This is not what people think because of what's happening. This is going to cause people to go into caves and beg the cave to cave in on them. Because they're going to see the sign of the Son of Man returning. Jesus Christ coming back. And he's coming back as a victorious king. And guess who's behind him? I want to be on the front lines. The second coming of Christ will not occur until after certain other end time events take place. The rapture is imminent and it could take place at any moment. Again, whether it's post, mid, don't really care. But we don't know exactly when we'll enter in. Well, Pastor, it's a definitive time. Well, it's a definitive time, but nobody usually figures it out until afterwards. We can sit back and look at Israel and say, oh yeah, boom, 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 we got this. We couldn't do that until afterwards. Why is it important to keep the rapture and second coming distinct? If the rapture and the second coming are the same event, believers will have to go through the tribulation. Again, I still believe we go through half. If the rapture and again, the half that we go through is the peacetime. That's where I think there's a delineation missed. If the rapture and the second coming are the same event, the return of Christ is not imminent. I believe it's imminent. But again, that means when we go, all hell's going to break loose on this earth. And describing the tribulation period, Revelation chapter 6 through 19, nowhere mentions the church. Again, these are all things because it's all metaphorical. So it is important for us to understand, folks, Jesus is going to return. That's been the whole point of this. It's not to stir up whether you believe pre-trib, post-trib, or mid-trib. Don't really care. Don't argue with me because I ain't listening. I'm giving you the opportunity to believe what you want to believe. What you've sat down and you believe with all your heart, and your heart does not convict you otherwise. But don't go watch a movie and say, this is the way it's going to happen. Why did John write it down? If you're going to believe Hollywood's version. It's interesting. It's not the truth. Yeah. It's kind of cool on some things. But, you know, I mean, I grew up in a church. We attended a church one time. They believed we were going through it and God was going to take us here. See? And keep us in a protected area. I believe that protected area, he wasn't too far off on that. I believe that's, we go. God's got a place where he's protected. He's prepared for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. What do you think he had to do? Make provision, make rooms. I love you, brother, but I ain't shacking up with you. He's preparing my own home. He's preparing Trisha her own home, Gloria her own home. He's preparing a place. Why? Because there's no place for us. It has to be. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared for her. That is Bible. That's it. I've not pulled out one prophecy. I believe that there are prophecies that are valid today. They just have to fall in line with what's in the Bible. They don't fall in line. I heard somebody come down and tell me, we kind of got in a little debate over the book of Hebrews. And does anybody know who wrote the book of Hebrews? No, they don't. It's speculation that the Apostle Paul wrote it. However, the Apostle Paul always addressed himself. But this person said, well, Paul didn't address himself because he's writing to Hebrews. It was written so long, they all knew who he was. It didn't matter. I believe personally that it could have been Barnabas, or it could have been an understudy of the Apostle Paul. Because it does write a lot like him, except for the fact that the Apostle Paul always said, I, the Apostle Paul, am writing to you. He understood his authority, and hey, this gets people's attention. The writer of Hebrews did not do that. Kept things vague. So anyhow, this person told me, well, so-and-so said Jesus told him that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I said, I don't care. I don't run on man's New Age prophecies today. Because I've been told heard all kinds of things. I mean, we got so much goofy stuff going on that we've mixed in, well, Jesus comes down, or an angel came down and told me Paul wrote that, or I don't care who told you what. It's up for speculation. I believe a godly man wrote it. Because the thing we got into was over who Melchizedek was. Because this person's argument was Melchizedek was Jesus Christ on the earth in Abraham's time as a king. That means this will be his third coming. That's the belief. However, if you read the apocryphal book of Jasher, it identifies, and by the way, Jasher is quoted regularly in your Bible, it will identify it as Shem, the son of Noah, who was indeed alive, because that was the person's argument. He wasn't alive at that time, so that's what made me start doing timelines. The man was old. We can't comprehend it because, okay, 100 years old, people can't move around. This guy was several hundred years old. Oh, yeah. Noah was 600. 500 when he had to start having kids and start building the ark. 600 when he went in. So let's keep all that in mind. But again, prophecy is exactly that. It's prophecy. It's not meant to divide the church, and that's exactly what this has. That's why I've stayed away from it and why I'm telling you, you have the right to believe whether it's post, pre, mid, or pre-wrath. And if pre-wrath is exactly what I think it is, I'm pre-wrath. Because I do not believe God has set us aside to go through that. We will go through things on this earth. Jesus said, you will have trials. That's a promise. The tribulation is not to purify the church. Because I got to share this with you, if you'll give me a few more minutes. The church, I believe for years, we've got the thing, whole thing wrong. First off, the bride is a city. I read it today. I've yet to see really where it's people. People make up the city. But the bride of Christ will dwell in the city. Okay? It says, coming back for a bride who is without spot nor wrinkle. Again, goes back, we are, but John saw a city, a definite, definitive city. Huge, but it was a city. Buildings, walls, gates, the whole enchilada. We know what makes up a church is people. We know what makes up a city is people. Other than that, you just got buildings, a collection of buildings, okay? The bride without spot nor wrinkle. For years, we have been teaching this, and it, just the revelation the other day of what Jesus was saying to the church of Laodicea. I wish that you were hot or cold, but not in between. See, the cold are people that live by the law. It's black and white, cut and dry. You know, you sin, you're done. It's cold. But hot. Man, hot things bounce around. You ever notice when water's hot, it bubbles and it's got life in it? Cold water doesn't. Cold water is just still. Hot water is bubbling. It's got things going on. It's moving. It's got life in it. And I told Hans, I said, it came to me the other day. I said, the church without spot and wrinkle. Here we are. We think we got to iron out our own dress. You know, all those weddings I did, man, I'd be Miss Arnold, she'd be there ironing out the trains on those dresses. Because she was all about that, about how it looked. And that's what we think we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be getting our dress ironed. We're supposed to be ironing out our own problems. We work through things with fear and trembling, but it's through God's grace. The church without spot and wrinkle, because guess what? We will never be spotless or wrinkleless as human beings. The church without spot and wrinkle, the bride that he comes back for, are those who are living by his grace, who have accepted what he did. The cold, they're those that denied. They still are saved. I believe, to be honest with you, we may be looking at a group that does get to go through it, because they choose not to believe in God's mercy. That's the way they want it. They like the torment. They like the torture. But God said, the church, the first several chapters of Revelation are written to seven churches. And in each time, Jesus said to each one, he who has ears to hear, let him hear and understand what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay? And all of those, God's grace abounded. Okay? So the church, I believe, the ones that rapture out, the ones that become the bride, the ones that are set aside, are those who accept His grace and His mercy. And we quit trying to iron our own dress out on our own. Because my ironing job may not be good enough. You know, I mean, seriously, if we all look at, well, we all got a different idea of what good enough is. You know, when I wore the uniform, folks, I was so anal about it, I glued my pockets down so that they didn't have any flaps. I mean, you can ask Angela. I was the king of Elmer's and stitch witchery. I mean, I could actually set my own uniform up and my pants would stand. They didn't need iron for 3 days. I could wear them, just come home, take them off, hang them up, and I was done. Now, granted, they were unserviceable at that juncture. But boy, I look good. But see, it was all about looks. That's why our righteousness is as filthy rags. Because it's about looks. It's not about God's mercy. And that's what He wanted to show. He wanted to show Sodom and Gomorrah mercy. He really did. He wanted. That's the only reason He went to Abraham. It wasn't just because he was Abraham's friend. He wanted somebody to stand in the gap for Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham did it. But even Abraham realized, I can't. They refuse. They won't receive God's mercy. And even with what little bit we read about in the book of Genesis, it wasn't a good place to live. You really want to learn about it? Read Jasher. You'll understand a whole lot more about it. And see, well, that's exactly why God destroyed them. And their number one sin wasn't necessarily sexual. It was injustice. I've done it before. I can take you right through the Bible and show you everywhere God condemns false scales and injustice. Because I have a person who'd rather be judged by a fair judge, myself, than one who knows what mercy is. So those are just some things, folks. Like I said, I hope what I did was stirred something in you that you say, you know what, maybe I'm going to spend a little bit of time getting in and knowing a little more about that. And again, if you're going to study, you've got to look at each one of the points of view and understand what they're saying, but you've got to read the Bible for yourself and say, okay, Lord, what are you saying here? Write it down. Write down a reference. By the way, just so you know, I don't think the book, second chapter of Joel is referencing the end times. Things I'll point out to you the next time. I think it already happened. Okay? Because Jesus prophesied what Joel talked about. The abomination of desolation. Jesus prophesied it. 70 AD, it happened. Okay? I believe that was that whole prophecy. It's not necessarily the end times. So, again, you got to define what was the prophecy against Israel, which most of Daniel, again, is about Israel. Revelation, we are there. We're involved. Guess what? The United States isn't mentioned in any of that either, but guess who's the largest world power right now? The one country not mentioned. Why? Don't know. It's speculation. Will we be around? Will we be a country? It's hard to believe, isn't it? Nobody had ever thought that Russia would rise up and take Crimea. Nobody thought that. Everybody thought, oh, Russia's dead and gone. You people fell asleep and fell down and hit your head. Russia's been waiting, and the Bible prophesied it. About against Israel, yeah. The bear from the north. Yeah. Yeah. See, it's been prophesied, but so many people, oh, well, Russia's no longer a threat. And I'm talking not necessarily people of the Bible. I'm talking just general people. Russia didn't get rid of the nukes that we thought they got rid of. They did the same thing we did. Got rid of the expired ones. Yeah, the ones that don't work anymore. That's what we got rid of. Because where do you think we keep putting all this radioactive material? We keep building more. There are things going on. I've already heard some things. Haven't gotten details yet, but I've been told that when I'm alone with the person,